Every building project needs to start with a well-thought-out blueprint. So the Bible serves as our blueprint. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be taking important themes that you find throughout the Bible, and we're going to be looking at how we can apply those in helping to build the kingdom of God. So last week, Matt shared with us about what the gospel is and what it requires of us. And today, we're going to be looking at the theme of the presence of God. So would any of you guys feel confident in sitting down face-to-face with someone who'd never heard of Pentecost Sunday and explaining exactly what it is? The history, the meaning, what it means to us today? Probably not. It's not one of those things that you really learn a lot about. I grew up in a Pentecostal denomination, and we talked about the day of Pentecost a lot, but we didn't really look too much at the historical relevance of what had happened. We didn't really look at it in the context of the entire biblical story. So most modern churches would probably define Pentecost as being when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and it filled all the people that were gathered around after Jesus had ascended to heaven. But it goes much, much deeper than that. So Pentecost, or the Hebrew word for it is Shavuot, it's an ancient Jewish festival that was celebrating the harvest of wheat. Now you know. It was also known as the Feast of the Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. But at some point, it also became a time of remembering when God's presence descended on Mount Sinai and he gave the law to Moses. So that story is recorded starting in Exodus 19. You know, we're going to talk a little bit more about the law next week in a message, so we're not going to hit a whole lot on that. But I want you guys to understand today how Mount Sinai is connected to what happened on the day of Pentecost. So Exodus 19:18 says, Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently. That sounds like it's worth remembering, right? It sounds terrifying. Like, can you imagine what it would be like to be at this place, and then all of a sudden, this entire mountain starts trembling. There's wind, there's fire, there's smoke. The sound must have been overwhelming. But God's presence came with the evidence of wind and fire, in the evidence of a mighty storm. And this was when Moses was given the Ten Commandments. You know, Pentecost, the holiday, is still celebrated in Jewish cultures today. And one of the things that they do during the celebration, because they have a weekend-long celebration, one of the things that they do is they do a midnight reading of the Ten Commandments. But let's skip for today. Let's skip to the end of the Mount Sinai narrative. It says in Exodus 31:18, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. Y'all, God literally wrote his law for the Jewish nation on stone. It's kind of hard to change, huh? It's written in stone. But as we know, they were not always very good at following the law. Even though it was written on stone and it was this permanent fixture, they were not very good at following it. In fact, there's over 600 other laws that they were given that were regulations to keep them from disobeying those 10 laws. See, the problem was the law was written on stone, but it was not written on their hearts. You know, there's an incredible message that God spoke through his prophet Ezekiel. And in it, God was telling his people that there would be a day when he would gather up all the nations of Israel and he would restore them. And this was spoken during the exile. This was spoken during a dark period in their history. And they were living as a divided nation in exile in Babylon. And it says in Ezekiel 36:24, "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land." What was their land? Well, you guys are sleepy today. Maybe we should have done a song or something woken you up. Jerusalem, the chosen land. It says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all of your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." So what's happening here? See, God is promising that he will gather all of his people back together in their homeland of Jerusalem. Look, you guys have learned something today already. He's going to gather them back together because they've been scattered. They've been spread apart. And years and years and years and years have gone by. Over 400 years, scattered nation all of a sudden becomes new nations with new cultures, new languages, but they all still follow God, but they're scattered. And he says that he's going to replace their disobedient heart of stone with a heart of flesh, and he's going to fill them with his spirit. They're going to be filled with his presence. So let's see what happened. So over 400 years of this, they have this promise to hold on to, that God says he's going to gather us back together. God says he's going to make us new. He's going to restore us. So over 400 years pass, and Jesus came, and he changed everything. See, he fulfilled the law that God had written on stone through the sacrifice of his flesh. And 10 days after his ascension into heaven, see, his disciples and the other believers were gathered together because Jesus had told them, "Do not leave Jerusalem. Wait. Gather together, pray, and wait for the gift that my Father's going to send you." So his disciples and other believers were gathered together, and they were praying and waiting for the gift to come. And then in Acts 2, it says, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place." See, they were all together in one place as the disciples and the believers, but there's more to it than this. Jews from all nations, Jews from all these other families, from all these other cultures, all these different languages had gone through a pilgrimage and ended up in the homeland of Jerusalem. They were gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the harvest festival, to remember the time that the law was given to Moses when God's presence descended on the Mount Sinai. So they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came down from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I'm not gonna lie, I used to be terrified of tongues of fire because y'all use hairspray. And I used to be terrified of that scripture. But that's how God appeared to them, with wind, with fire. Does that sound familiar? Does that not sound like the same way that he appeared, the same way his presence descended on Mount Sinai? God's presence was here. But this time, it was different. See, when God's presence descended on Mount Sinai, his people were scared, and they wouldn't come to him. So he wrote his law in stone. But now they were asking for him to come to them. And he came and he wrote his law on their hearts. The law from Sinai was an attempt to change people from the outside in. But the law that's written on our hearts by the Spirit changes us from within. And when we change from within, then that shows on the outside. And it goes on to say in verse 5 that now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Y'all, he had gathered his people together. Just like he said, just like he said through Ezekiel, he had gathered his nation of people together. There were different languages, and he spoke to them. You know, what was once one family, the family of Abraham, it was now a vast variety of people. There was so much diversity in the crowd that day. But God came to them, and his presence filled the gaps. His presence filled the gap so every person could hear his word. So every person could have access to him. So you remember that passage from Ezekiel? It says, I'll take you out of the nations, gather you, bring you back to your old land. Y'all, they were there. And it happened. And there's this other really, really cool, I wish I had time today, prophecy in Joel. And I want you guys to go home and read that. Actually, just go home and finish, just read all of Acts 2. Just soak in it. Because what happens in Acts 2 after this is that the people in the room were filled with the Spirit. And then Peter, this guy who just not long before denied Jesus thrice. That's a word. He denied Jesus because he was scared. Now stands up in front of a crowd of over 3,000 people. And he prophesies from Joel. He repeats that message from Joel about the presence of the Lord coming. He said that today this has been fulfilled. And over 3,000 people were baptized and filled with the Spirit that day. Can you imagine? Gosh, I just get excited. So people from all nations gathered together to remember when God wrote the law on stone. They left with the law written on their hearts. So what's the law that God wrote on their hearts? What's the greatest law that Jesus said? Love God, love others. And they left with that written on their heart by the fingerprint of God because his presence fell on them. So they had experienced what Ezekiel had spoken over 400 years before. Now that blows my mind. The United States isn't even 100 years old, or 400 years old. It's 100 years old. I don't math. That's incredible. Can you imagine something that was said over 400 years old, experiencing that? Like in the moment, and then recognizing that, oh my gosh, this is what's happening. That's what that Jesus guy was about. It all makes sense now. It's like something was unlocked because now the presence was within. So what does this little history lesson have to do with us today? Because that's what we all want to know, right? Like, what does it have to do with me? You know, the day of Pentecost was not just a one-time event of God's presence showing up. It was just the beginning. You know, the Spirit, he was there in at creation. If you look to the first two verses of Genesis, in the creation story, we read that the earth was formless, it was void, and there was darkness over the surface of the deep. There was this wild, chaotic darkness, these waters, and there was no order, there was no peace in it. But the Spirit of God was hovering over those waters. And just as the Spirit of God on the first page of the Bible was hovering over the chaotic darkness, he is still here today hovering over our chaotic darkness. He's here now offering us hope and sustaining us through these dark and chaotic times. The Hebrew word used to describe the Spirit of God is ruach. It means air or breath or energy. And when you stop and take a deep breath, do it right now. Just everyone close your eyes and just take a deep breath. Just breathe in and then release it. It does something to your body, doesn't it? It gives you like this refreshing energy. Yeah, that's how the biblical authors describe what the presence of God felt like. You know, we're not meant to only take one breath and hold on to it forever. We also have to exhale. If you take one deep breath and you hold on to it, that's not breathing. That's not living. We don't just get filled with the presence of God one time and hold on to that for the rest of our lives. We have to exhale. We have to breathe in and breathe out. And as we allow the Spirit of God to come in and energize us, then we must also realize that we have to release that back into the world. You know, like last week, Matt said about the gospel, we have a responsibility as God's children to share the good news. You know, it's also our responsibility as God's children to share God's Spirit, God's presence with others. Now, the band's going to come up, and we're going to end with some worship today. You know, as we learn to accept His grace and His peace and His love, we must in turn give it back to those around us. And as we learn to welcome the presence of God into our lives and share it with others, the kingdom of God is being built. You know, this morning I woke up and I felt like this message was just kind of unfinished, but I was like, we'll finish it in worship. We'll let the Spirit move. We'll let the Spirit speak. But there was this verse that just kept coming into my mind. And so I want to read it to you guys today. And I want this to be our prayer as we go into singing and welcoming the Spirit to come in. I want this to be our prayer. Create in me a pure heart, O God.